Well, missions is near and dear to my heart. And so when it comes to a missions emphasis Sunday, I'm really excited. Some of you say, wow, I praise the Lord I was raised in a Christian home. My dad accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior when he was in the military during the Korean War. And Mom had gotten saved when she was a teenager in high school back in southeast Kansas. And so I praise the Lord that I had a Christian mom and dad. And they raised me in church. And it's been a blessing over the years to be able to go to church no matter where we've been in the world. I'm going to talk about a topic that is one of those things that's supposed to be taboo in the world. But everybody likes to talk about money, right? The more you give me, the better. However, when it comes to us giving, it's like, oh, please don't. That's going to hurt. So if you want, you can take your wallet out or your pocketbook out. You can just lay it in front of you. I don't care. But at the same time, we are going to talk about missions and mission giving today. If you would, let's go to Malachi chapter number 3. Some of you may not know where that's at. That's the last book in the Old Testament. I'll make it easy for you. And it's next to the last chapter in the Old Testament as well. So if you go to Malachi chapter number 3, we're going to look at some simple truths first and then get a little deeper into it. Now, I'm going to ask a question and not look this way, but what time does Pastor usually let you out? When he's finished? Outstanding. I like that. That's wonderful. No, I'll try not to keep you long. I know that one of the most dangerous things I've ever done in my life, I was in Afghanistan 2 years, but the most dangerous thing I've ever done in my life is preach a sermon knowing that there's a potluck dinner to follow. So, I know, and I'll be conscious of time. Malachi chapter number 3, go down then, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now notice there's two things listed there. In tithes and offerings. And we're going to go specifically into that later. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And we could stop right there, and there's a whole message in itself, but today the Lord has said, go on. Verse number 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and ye shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And I alluded this morning in the Sunday school hour about how that God has literally blessed people in heathen nations who have converted unto Christianity. They know Jesus Christ their Savior, and now God is blessing their lands. And you can truly, if you open your eyes in the United States of America and you see what's going on here, you can see how God's hand of blessing upon a nation that was founded upon His Word, upon His principles, how that as we are turning away from Him, He's taking His hand of blessing off of this nation, and we better watch out. But He starts this off with here to those people, will a man rob God? And you say, how? Well, I had many principles taught to me as a young boy. Going to church. Mom and Dad would always give us a coin or two to put in the offering. whether it be a nickel, a dime, or whatever, there was five of us kids, and we were taught from an early age to give in the offering plate as it was being passed. And Mom and Dad would teach us that a tithe is a tenth, and it's really not ours. God gives it to us, entrusting us to give it back to Him because it's His. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, and I know that this is not necessarily the most politically correct way to say things nowadays, but it's still true. But there was a thing that they used to say, are you an Indian giver? And some of you can remember those things when you were told you give something to somebody, and then when you get mad at them or you want it back, you say, I want it back. And that was Indian giving. Are we Indian givers when it comes to God giving to us money every month, every week, every time we get an increase? And He says, a tenth of it is mine, but yet we don't give it back to Him. It was His. And so if we keep it, we're an Indian giver, right? We're keeping things that really don't belong to us. But how many of us would say to somebody else, if we give something, we want it back? God gives to us an increase, and we're supposed to give it back. Now, I remember as well as a child growing up in church that that is a tenth. Not just any amount that you want to give, but a tenth of all of the earnings that you have. If you get $100 this month, a tenth is how much? Huh? Ten. Some of you are thinking, let's see, this is higher math. No, I'm just kidding. I have an engineering degree. I had to do some pretty complicated math, but a tenth is easy. $10 back to Him. That means I only have 90, right? The other's His. But you know, over the years, there were times in my life where I got to thinking, you know, I need that $10. $10 used to be a lot of money. $10 was a lot of work. $10 was a difference between having something that I really wanted or thought I needed versus not being able to do. And yeah, Samuel was tempted and give in, and I got those things with that tenth rather than giving it to the Lord. But you know, I learned a lesson, and it took a lot of time, I guess, to get this through to this thick skull that I've got here. God gets even. Some of those things that happen in your life, and you wonder, well, why did that break down, or why didn't that last, or why? And you look back and you think of, you know what, I didn't give God His 10%, and He's going to take it plus a little bit of interest. Yeah. Wasn't a lesson necessarily that I like to do. But you know what, I soon learned, just like some other things that was applied to the seed of learning when I was growing up, I didn't like it, and I didn't want it to happen anymore. And so I just started faithfully giving a tenth back to the Lord. And that's wonderful to understand that a tenth is His and give to Him what is rightfully His. But it doesn't stop there. It says, in tithes and offerings. Now I'm going to walk you through a little short story. My parents, as I alluded to this morning, went to American Samoa in 1972 as missionaries. They started doing deputation in 1970. And as we went to churches, there were five of us, and I'm number two of five. And we would go to churches, and we would be there, and Dad is presenting us going to the American Samoa Islands. We were the first Baptist missionaries to the islands. The people had never had a Baptist missionary there before. And Dad is telling them about the work that the Lord has called him to and the place in which we were going. He would show slides. How many of you remember what those are? Not PowerPoint, but I'm talking about the little deal that you project on the screen. Some of you remember. It's kind of like something other than a telephone. Well, I left it down there being a cell phone. pick it up. It was attached to a cord. But really go old, you had the crank, right? Some of you can shake your head. Yeah, I remember that too. But as we were getting ready to go, and Dad was showing the slides of the field that we're going to, the little island, the people and the culture and the things there, he was telling them that they don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And telling how that we were going to go there and it would take money in order to get there. Airplane trips for seven is not cheap back then, let alone today. And it would take several thousand dollars in order to get us on the plane and to get us there. It would take some money to sustain us every day as we're there on the island trying to do the ministry God has called us to do. And he would tell those people there that we need to have a little bit of funds to make that happen. And as we would go to different churches, in those different churches that we went to, had different programs. Some of them had faith promise, grace giving. And some had, just out of a general budget of the offerings that were given, that would give money towards missions. Now I think, and if you look and you study the New Testament, that the way to do it is called faith promise or grace giving to support missionaries. The tithe, that tenth that is given, is for the Lord's work right here. First Baptist Church in Greenfield, Missouri. Anything and above that in the offerings then is an extension of projects that are needed here at the church, or if it's given specifically for missions, it's given to go to that specific work which the offering was given to. Well, finally, as funds were raised and support was raised from churches of people that were saying they were going to help us to get to Samoa and to do that work, and we would live, we would have food while we were there, we would have clothes while we were there, and that's a whole different topic. The food is not American food. Well, I love Samoan food. Why do you think those people are as big as they are? Wow, and as tough as they are. The food they get. Now, the clothes is a whole different story, and if I wore a lava lava like the men wore in American Samoa, you would probably laugh me out of the place, but it's just a piece of cloth wrapped around you and tucked in. Now, I've done that a couple of times and surprised some people, not in churches in America, okay, but at the same time, we were quite comfortable with that. And you know what? It's a lot cheaper to buy like a yard of material to wrap around my waist and to tuck it in than it is to buy a suit. Trust me, I'd like to get out of them. But that's not the message. It takes money for missionaries to go to the field and to do the work. Over the years that we were there in Samoa, we were able to get some churches started. And now in American Samoa, there are five independent Baptist churches that are now sending missionaries out to other places in the world as a result of us going and doing what was needed. Turn, if you would, now to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're going to delve just a little bit deeper into this offering part of it. Because some of us like to think of it as, well, I have to give my tenth, my tithe. And some of us have the bad attitude of the grudging having to do versus I have the privilege of getting to do. It's an honor and a privilege to give back to the Lord what's His. No, by the way, you might as well just get started in it, because when we get our crowns in glory for the things that we've done here, we're going to cast them at His feet. So you might as well get used to giving it away. In fact, I've had people that have asked me in the ministry since I started, how much money does it take, Samuel, to do it? It doesn't take money at all. If you'll buy my diesel, if you'll buy my tires, if you'll pay my insurance, if you'll buy the rolls of paper, if you'll do all that, I don't have to have money at all. The problem is going to the store to get those things and they say, give me the money. Too many of us look at it in the wrong attitude. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make you beforehand your bounty whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth, I'll get the tongue untied here in a second, seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, right? What a timely thing. Everybody enjoyed that nice, wonderful meal with all the fixings, right? Gained a couple of pounds off of it, right? But if you were to fix one potato for the family and a teaspoon of gravy to put on those potatoes and one slice of turkey off of that turkey and put it on the plate for the entire family, would that be sowing bountifully? Not at all. In fact, it might show that we've got a heart problem and that we're grudgingly doing something, right? That or we don't have very much. Here we find a statement that is written to the people at Corinth. But I say to you, verse number 6, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm going to take just a couple of seconds and I'm going to tell you that if I was to think about, I have a Bible, it's my Bible, and I'm not going to share it with anybody, that'd be pretty selfish, wouldn't it? Especially knowing that there's almost 8 billion people in the world that needs to have that Bible, God's Word. And if you didn't have that this morning and you relied on me to read it, you would probably want to see it and read it yourself, right? I remember giving Bibles to people around the world who never thought they would ever have, and see the tears of joy on their face as you give to them something that's more valuable, more precious than anything else in the world. And how that they would wonder, I never thought I would ever get it. How can you have? And I like to think of, because people gave the funds so that we could print a piece of paper with God's Word on it so that we might give it to them. Oh, the ministry has been able to print over 20 million scripture. We've sent 18 million of it to the field, 28 countries of the world, so that they might have God's Word. What would have happened if Samuel would have said, this is mine, and you're not going to get to see it. You're not going to get to read it. You're not going to get to hear it. It'd be pretty selfish, wouldn't it? What if a farmer or somebody who likes to garden planted a garden and only did it for himself? There'd be a lot of hungry people, or not people at all, right? This says that they must sow expecting a harvest, and if we sow bountifully, we will reap what? Bountifully. My son-in-law farms 1,800 acres up in South Dakota. And as he goes out and he plants that field and he takes that big John Deere tractor with the big old planter and he stretches that thing out and he's got 32 rows at a time going across about the width of this building right here, he doesn't put one seed in there to plant the field. He puts enough seed in there so that every 6 to 8 inches a seed goes in. Why? So that he can see a bountiful harvest. Why is it then that we in our minds come into a church setting, a building, that we're supposed to be thinking about spreading God's word around the world, and we want to be selfish about it rather than saying, you know what? The work of the Lord needs to have funds to make happen. I don't know if I've got one. I think I used it yesterday. Woo! Dropped my mic. That's not a good thing either. Put that right there in the pocket. Well, I've got a 5. It'll do. If I go to a church and the offering plate is passed, and the Lord says, Samuel, you need to give today. I don't have a 1. Well, I'll just put a 5 in. But the Lord speaks in my heart and he says, Samuel, I want you to give 100. Now, don't have a heart attack, okay? I'm not. You'd give 1 to the pastor if everybody put 100 in the offering plate. But if the offering plate is passed and you look for the smallest denomination of what you have in there, is that sowing bountifully? You know, a good friend of mine, pastor down in Georgia, Buford, Georgia. He tells a little story about how that the dollar bills got in a conversation with each other and told of all of the locations that they've been. And most of it was tips at a restaurant or the offering plate at a church. But the $100 bills started talking to each other and telling of all the wonderful places in the world that they've been. And all the things that they've got to see. What's the point? Where do we spend $100 to have entertainment for a nice meal? Doesn't take long anymore, does it? $100 bill's almost like a 10, right? But if we think of God's work and we want to see sowing bountifully, to reap bountifully, we can't just give the $1 bill. We've got to give the bigger denomination, right? In order to see something happen. I know from travels, every time I go to the fuel pump and I put diesel in that truck, it takes $100 plus, depending upon. And I'll spend right now almost $1,000 a month on diesel fuel to get scripture everywhere. And you say, wow, that's a lot of money. Yes, it's a lot of money. But I'm carrying God's word so that people around the world might have eternity in heaven where we pave the streets of gold. And we're going to walk on it. It's common every day. You know, God gives us, God blesses us, God directs us in what we're supposed to give. We limit ourselves by grudgingly saying, this is what I'm going to do. How many of you know missionaries? And you're looking at one, and don't just say this one who's asking for money. I don't want that at all. In fact, if you look over there in Philippians, it says, it's not that me, it's fruit to your account. All of the money that comes in for paper is going so that it can go out the door someplace else so somebody else may have scripture and they may know. But it takes money to do that. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to give what? Cheerfully. God loves a grudging giver? Not at all. A cheerful giver. And when the Lord speaks to our heart and he says, you know what? I've blessed you. I've given you an increase. I let you get this. Give graciously, happily, cheerfully. Because quite frankly, in America, we have a lot of wants, right? Not a lot of needs. While there's a lot of people in this world, as well as right here in this town, that need the gospel. And it's the work of the church and the people in the church to give in order to make that happen and so that it can reach this community. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody around here let's say, 10-mile radius of right here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of them knew Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Just think what a happy community this would be. It'd be so amazing, you guys wouldn't be able to handle it. And you'd have to build a bigger building or have more services during the day just to have everybody come, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful? That should be our goal rather than saying, you know what? I'm not going to give so that they can come. I don't care about their heart. I don't care about that missionary who's trying to raise the money to go to the mission field so that they may know about. You know what I've seen as I've traveled all those countries of the world and visited with all those people? I have an engineering degree and I can build you anything that you want built. Nice, fancy. In fact, I got to go to Saddam Hussein's palace in Iraq. Marble polished floors. Gold fixtures on the bathroom sinks and toilets. For what? Well, really what they need, as well as most of the world needs, is a heart change that can only happen by missionaries getting funded to go to the mission field and tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, what they're really saying right here in these verses, Paul is telling the people at Corinth this: give bountifully so that a harvest can be reaped of souls by those missionaries that are going, by those that are willing to go outside of America to tell them the most important news that they need to hear. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. He's the only one that you can believe on, trust in your heart to get saved, to spend eternity in heaven. Everybody else, all the other religions of the world are telling somebody of something that's going to do what? Make them feel good right now, but they're going to spend eternity in hell. We need to be investing bountifully, cheerfully bountifully, so that other souls might be saved around the world. Then if you would, look if you would in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Go down to verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherewith ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect for want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to both be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then that most favorite verse of people, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. They forget about the couple of verses before. They like to claim that one. Verse number 14, notwithstanding ye have done well, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as to concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you understand that your giving by faith promise or by grace giving is not going to my pocketbook to make me fat, dumb, and happy? It is going to your account for what God has asked me to do, of specifically getting Scripture into the hands of people around the world. But as other missionaries, as you have on your mission board out there, those missionaries are going to people in those countries who have not heard of Jesus Christ. and need to hear. Because as I said, they've got conditions all over the world that vary. But what they really need is not a nice fancy place to live, but they need their heart changed. And that can only be done through Jesus Christ. Paul says here, I thank you for your giving. It is much appreciated. I know you gave out of your heart so that I might have in the needs of those other places that God has asked me to go. And I tried to do my best to give to them Jesus Christ. Not Paul, but Jesus Christ. Why? That ye may have fruit. Not that I needed something or wanted something, but that ye may have fruit to your account. You see, when you have one of these faith promise cards that is given to you, and you look at this thing and it says, my promise, and there's an amount there. It's not that you're going to go this because you have to. The tithe is the have to part, if you want to think of it that way. I don't. I like to give it gracefully, cheerfully. But when you say this here, I'm going to give to missions because God is blessing me, has blessed me, and I want fruit to my account. How many of you like to put your money in the bank and have no interest come back? In fact, you pay them to keep it. That's what I thought. When God gives you your paycheck every month and then He says, I want some of it back, you know what? You're doing that same thing. You're that bank that's not doing rightful with the money that's given to you. Because God blesses and God... When I started, Matt, why do you think I joined the military? It was hard work as a farmer. I was an engineer in the military, and it was hard work at times doing stuff there too. Now that I started getting my retirement, it's about time. But you know what? I'm looking at all of the people that the Lord's allowed me to see around the world that needed the gospel. And I've tried to be what God wanted me to be, whether I was a farmer or whether I was a missionary or whether I was in the ministry, a military. Why? My purpose is not to get rich, be happy, and dumb about it. But my purpose for being here on earth is to glorify the Lord. And as He blesses me, gives to me bountifully, I give back so that others might get to know Jesus Christ around the world as well. You know something I've learned in 59 years? You can't outgive the Lord. You give when He tells you to give and the amount that He tells you to give. You see that pressed down, shaken, full as all get out, overflowing. That's what He's done for me. And I love the fact that He's blessed me, not because I like a blessing. Oh, it's nice to have. But because I did it, because there's souls out there that are dependent upon you, faith, promise, giving, grace, giving, so that a missionary can go. And when you think about that, my faith, promise, amount is, think about who are you going to invest in? What soul on the mission field is not important? What outreach ministry that the church supports doesn't need money to make it happen? Look at it this way of, I'm going to put this in the bank that's going to get me a lot of interest. And I want to get a lot of interest. 1%'s not a lot at a bank. That's what most of those accounts. So when I say, you know what, I'm going to lose. Inflation's 14% right now because, I better just go ahead and give $114 instead of $100 because I'm going to lose it if I don't. Right? I don't know what God's told you to put down here, but what are you willing to invest in for the souls of men in the world that someday you'll get to see in heaven because you've given? If it's only 14 and a half cents for John and Romans, praise the Lord for that soul that got saved as a result of it. But wouldn't it be nice? And let me give you a big number. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have 1,400 and invest in a couple of rolls of paper that's going to reach 60,000 people? Wow, it's a big number, isn't it? You know, out of all of the scripture that the Lord has allowed us to print and to send, I can honestly stand here before you today and I can say there are millions that have been saved as a result of God's word into their hands. I know missionaries, and I love corresponding with missionaries and hearing of people that are saved as a result of them going to that mission field that God's asked them to go to. When you're looking at that faith promise card, look at it as, what am I investing in? Scripture? Souls? And how much do I want to spend to reach those people that are going to perish rather than leave someplace in a bank? Oh, I think the Bible says something about moth eating it. Corruption, corrosion, all of those things, thieves, right? I would rather invest as God tells me to invest rather than try to make financial sense and see it all wasted. I praise the Lord for the fact that He allowed me to be raised in a Christian home and to see tithing, missions, offerings, listening to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to my heart and says, I want you to give because it's fruit to my account. It's an honor and a privilege, and we give to missions at our church. We participate in Faith Promise missions at our church, even as a missionary. Why? Because we're supposed to do that. I thank the Lord that I can invest in the souls of people around the world that I may not get to see until I get to heaven. But I'm looking forward to seeing the fruit to that investment. When I get a card like this and I get to put an amount on there, oh, I prayerfully go over what it is that the Lord's speaking to me, and sometimes I'm like, Lord, do you really know why I don't have that? I know. But isn't it wonderful when He says here, and He gives it to you the least expected way? Amen. You know, yesterday we spent a little time on our way through coming over here, and we went to the mall in Springfield. That's not a way to invest. But as I walked across the parking lot yesterday, I was able to pick up enough to print a John and Romans that people had discarded on the streets. 14 cents was able to pick up off of the parking lot. And I look at it as not having to pick up 14 cents, but I had the privilege of having another soul that I get to print for, and they're going to get saved as a result of somebody discarding it. I don't know how you're investing your life. I don't know how you're giving in your life. I don't know what you're thinking about as you think about Faith Promise. But I can tell you this. Think big towards souls, and God will provide to you the answer that you need. I thank the Lord for Faith Promise and me learning from an early age. And until the Lord takes me home, I'm going to continue to give tithes and offerings so that I might have fruit to my account. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to turn it over after a word of prayer to the pastor, close the service as he sees fit today. But if the Lord is speaking to you about missions and faith promise or faith grace giving, and He's given to you an amount of money, and you're saying things like, I don't know how that's going to come about, let me tell you this. Trust God. He'll provide. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the instructions that You've given to us on this matter of giving. Whether it be the tithe or whether it be an offering, Lord, You've talked to our hearts about our involvement in reaching souls around the world. And that's made possible through this faith, promise, or grace giving. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us, guide us in direction as we pray over what amount we were to give so that we might have fruit to our account. Guide and direct us and help us to do Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.